This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Get ready for fast greens and thick rough this week on Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
I'm clearing too early. I'm clearing too late. My God, my swing feels like an unfolding lawn chair.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
U.S. Open Week on Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080.
I look like a fool. What the hell do you think you look like? Shooting them chili peppers up Lee Jansen's ass.
The Fan.
Hey, what it do? Oh, what's up, good Wednesday? Big Wednesday show here.
Hot Lee Jansen talk.
I love that drop. It's a great clip.
It's a fun movie, but it also goes to remind you that athletes, a.k.a. golfers, should never act. Mm. That is some of the most brutal cameos you will ever see. I think it was, is it Corey Pavin that won the U.S. Open?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Shinnecock.
Nice mustache on
big,
that Corey Pavin. Yeah,
three wood.
He's walking down the course at one point in that movie, like when Tin Cup's making the push, and he looks into the camera and goes, I can't believe I'm going to have my name on the same trophy as a guy named Tin Cup. You're like, great, Corey. That, bravo, man.
Nicely done.
Great. Just nailed it.
Juilliard called me. Yeah. Wanted to know why you didn't come there for your degree.
It's so bad. So bad.
Well, apparently we're going to get a bunch of golfer cameos upcoming in the show Stick, as well as in Happy Gilmore 2, which comes out later this summer.
Stick intrigues me, and I will state for the record, Happy Gilmore 2 will be the worst movie ever made. That thing...
I hope not.
I can't... I will bet any amount of money that that thing is just...
Well, it won't be as good as Happy Gilmore, but can we give it a little chance?
No. I saw the previews for that, and I'm like, oh my God, what an absolute steaming pile of do. All he's going to do is the exact... He's got, like, Chubbs' son, who also has a fake hand. They're just... This is like when they tried to redo Dumb and Dumber. Like,
they're doo-doo also.
20 years later. What, like, Patrick Mahomes is in it, and, like, Bad Bunny? This is just like Adam Sandler being like... I don't have anything else to do, so Netflix will give me a bunch of money. How many cameos can I put in one movie?
Gold jacket, green jacket, who gives a shit?
Stick, we talked about on Monday while you were
that
away.
That looks intriguing to me.
Would you like some info on it?
Yeah, if you...
Oh yeah, Buck and I are both...
We've reviewed it.
We're both in on all three episodes that are out.
I almost started it the other day, and something got me instead.
It's, easy watch, a little predictable.
Yeah, it's... Pretty basic. It's kind of Ted Lasso. I think that they're trying to make the Ted Lasso of golf be Owen Wilson.
That makes sense.
And
very likable, very non-controversial.
I'm not sure if it... I don't know. It's very Disney-like.
They're trying to appeal to a little bit of everyone here.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not a great... I mean,
so don't.
I mean, you can watch it. I'm going to watch it because I love golf.
Yeah.
There is kind of a... I don't know. the main storyline, I guess, is, I don't know, dude.
You'll know after the first episode whether you want to keep going, and I think I'm going to see it through. It's not bad. It's an easy watch.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's also not great. It's just kind of is.
Okay.
And there are supposed to be some cameos from some golfers coming up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that doesn't, look, that's not a ringing endorsement.
I mean, if you wanted a ringing endorsement, I cannot lie to you.
Mm.
Okay, so that's just the honest to God truth
about
Stick. And that's the one with Owen Wilson. It's on Apple TV, and it's about golf.
I passed that over, and I started, it's been trending lately because of what's going on in the old country. I started watching Andor, and I'm not a big Star Wars canon guy. Most of that stuff is, I think, is pretty
bad. What's Andor?
It's on Disney Plus, and it's the prequel series to Rogue One.
What's Rogue One?
It's a Star Wars movie. And in my humble opinion,
what's Star Wars?
Have you heard George Lucas? It is the best Star Wars thing, and it's not even close compared to anything they've done outside of the original three. I think it's better than Return of the Jedi. It's really good. And it's got, like, people are raving about it, saying it's the best thing Star Wars has ever done. And there's some, I guess there's some parallel to what's going on right now in the country. And I was sitting there between Stick and that. And I gave Andor a crack. And I'm two episodes in. And let me tell you, that thing is great. It's got 98% Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
And I think 90 like popcorn score. It's really good.
Okay.
You don't have to be a Star Wars fan, because like I said, that doesn't really...
I feel like people always say that, and then if I start something like that, I'm like, if I were a Star Wars fan, I'd like this, but I'm not. I don't.
So it's sci-fi-y?
Yeah, it's in the Star Wars... It's Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm out.
Well, as someone who has not watched any of the auxiliary Star Wars stuff... I didn't watch The Mandalorian, didn't watch any of the stuff outside of the movies.
So this is like the new stuff, you mean? Like
The
non-George Lucas stuff?
Yeah.
Or is he still...
No, he's done. He sold it to Disney. Yeah.
The YouTube chat says that Andor is by far the best Star Wars spinoff that's been created yet.
I haven't liked anything that Star Wars has done outside of Rogue One, which is freaking awesome. If you want to see a good Star Wars movie, watch that. And it came out years and years ago. But I'm telling you... I went into it very skeptical because I was like, every time I try to watch a Star Wars something, it's stupid, it's bad dialogue, and Andor is really, really good.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for it. There's hot TV talk, ladies and gentlemen. We have a death to talk about.
Hot Andor and death news?
Why are we applauding a death?
Yeah, we shouldn't do that. Are we going to inappropriately woo now, too?
Brian Wilson is dead today.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I did.
I think he deserves a Seggy, don't you?
Absolutely. Brian Wilson is greatness.
Absolutely. Well, he was.
Yes.
He's no longer with us.
No, he is not.
So.
But maybe in like Star Wars, like his ghost is like hanging around somewhere and...
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what happens when you're uber talented and you die, but...
Yeah, Brian Wilson died at 82, and of course, Brian Wilson...
Of Beach Boys.
The Beach Boys.
And can we... Be honest, he was the Beach Boys. I know the Beach Boys were about harmonies, but there is no Beach Boys without Brian Wilson. That man was the engine that drove that thing.
He was great. You know, anytime...
Musical genius.
Anytime Bob Dylan says that he admires your genius, you know you did something right.
Yes.
Particularly when it comes to songwriting. He had over 30 top 40 hits. And, you know, the Beach Boys aren't for everyone, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But my God, do they have some jams.
Yes.
I was beach boying hard the other day out on the back patio there.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I know. I know how the patio goes. And let me tell you, a summertime patio Beach Boy session.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that.
And you just start singing real loud.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Well,
Beach Boys is windows down music.
Pet sounds. Do you know, like, when Brian Wilson had some...
I'm going to read you the mental health section of his Wikipedia page, it is wild.
It's a lot.
It is wild.
Yeah. But Brian Wilson was going through some stuff, and he wanted to make the album Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys. And a bunch of the Beach Boys, including, who was it? It was like Stan Love, and who was the other guy? Trying to remember what the other guy's name was. Were really against it. Like he took some flack because it wasn't a Beach Boys album, and he was I mean, he met
Mike Love.
Yeah, Mike Love,
Stan Love.
Yeah, Mike Love and
Dennis Wilson
that really went at
Carl Wilson,
Brian Wilson, and were unhappy with him, and it was like a battle. And he had these things in his head, and it's a really interesting story. I read this big article in Rolling Stone about it, and he fought tooth and nail to make that album with no one believing in him. And when it was done, it's considered one of the greatest albums ever written and the quintessential work of the Beach Boys. That Wouldn't It Be Nice, Sloop John B, God Only Knows. I mean, that's just, it was a labor of love. I mean, he was a tortured musical genius.
So let me read this to you, okay?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff out there. Like, I think a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, he was, you know, crazy, or he had dementia, which he did towards the end.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many people really know what went on with his mental health. And here is what it says. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you strapped into your seat?
Let's go. Well, I'm not strapped in, but I am sitting, and I've got like a, okay. I've got a wide base. You know,
okay,
I'm good. Like, okay. If there's a strong wind right now, I'm not blowing over.
Okay. Wilson was diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder and mild bipolar disorder. Since 1965, he regularly experienced auditory hallucinations in the form of disembodied voices. He referred to the voices as heroes and villains that contributed to a life of scare.
Yeah.
His family and associates faced challenges in discerning genuine mental health issues from potential manipulative behavior on his part. Subsequent to his Houston flight incident from December of 1964, his wife, Marilyn, arranged his first psychiatric visit, where it was ruled that Wilson's condition was due to work-related fatigue. He typically refused counseling, and his family believed his idiosyncrasies stemmed from drug habits and were innate to his personality. She countered accusations of neglect on her part, emphasizing her repeated efforts to get him help. According to Wilson, he was introduced to recreational drugs by an acquaintance during a Beach Boys tour. That's usually how it happens.
Yeah.
Acquaintances.
Yeah.
And on tour. His hallucinations emerged early in 1965, about a week after him first using psychedelics. Lauren Schwartz, his supplier, said that Wilson's first dosage was 125 micrograms of pure Owlsley and resulted in full-on ego death. Mike Love observed signs of irregular behavior in Wilson by July, recalling an incident where he deliberately crashed his car, an act Love deemed out of character. His drug use was initially concealed from his bandmates and family, including Love, who had thought Wilson to be strictly opposed to drugs.
So, by the way, 125 grams of hallucinogenic?
Micrograms. I don't know the difference, but...
Seems
like a lot.
Look, if that is kind of what... I guess what we traditionally take if you experience any, like if you dabble in mushrooms or whatever, that is an F-ton. Like,
there are 1,000 micrograms in 1 milligram. So this, that would be like, you said 125 micrograms.
Micrograms, yes.
So that'd be like 1% of a milligram, right? Or 10% of a milligram?
I don't know.
10% of a milligram.
Well, that.
Is it a lot or a little?
It's a fraction of a milligram.
Okay.
So not a lot. Okay. Wilson in 1990 attributed LSD to his developing a Jesus Christ complex in the mid-1960s. Following the advice of four freshman manager Bill Wagner, Wilson consulted with a UCLA psychiatrist on the adverse effects of LSD. The psychiatrist later told Wagner, "I don't know if he's savable. He gives me the impression he's been on it for quite a while and he's entirely enamored of it." By 1966, Wilson acknowledged using pills for introspection rather than leisure and viewed psychedelic usage as benign. His 2016 memoir states that he abstained from consuming LSD for a second time until he was 23, around 1966 or 67. His then-wife suspected he had numerous LSD experiences in the ensuing years, although she only knew of two such incidents at the time. She claimed in 2004 that Wilson had taken LSD only 3 times in his life. As his condition worsened, he grew susceptible to paranoid delusions, believing that his auditory hallucinations were Satan, coming in the form of other people that were competing with him and his ideas, and they wanted to kill him. Yeah. By 1968, following the birth of their first child, Marilyn's concerns about Wilson's mental health intensified. He was hospitalized later that year and prescribed Thorazine for severe anxiety disorder. He may have self-admitted and possibly received treatments ranging from talking therapies to doses of lithium and electroconvulsive therapy during his stay.
So you got the old shock treatment.
He was given the since-retracted diagnosis of paranoid schizophrenia in addition to manic depressive psychosis when he was a patient at Bratzman Memorial Hospital in 1978. Mm. He initially refuted such a diagnosis, suggesting Wilson's main issue was being scarred. In 1984, doctors again misdiagnosed him with schizophrenia, also finding evidence of brain damage caused by drug use. Mm. So we're still unclear of what the hell's going on with his brain.
He just battled. It was a lifelong battle between mental health problems, drug abuse. He was a tortured genius. That's what I said. He was a tortured genius.
In the late 80s, he developed facial tics, symptomatic of excessive psychotropic medications. The therapist, Peter Room, stated that Wilson would have deteriorated into a drooling, palsied mental patient and potentially died of heart failure had he continued his drug regimen. In a 2002 interview, Wilson stated, "I don't regret the Landy program. I loved the guy. He saved me." After Wilson sought medical care elsewhere, he was declared to have organic personality disorder.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look. The guy for 50 years just battled. He battled mental health problems and drug addiction and experimented. When you're battling depression and schizophrenia and a lot of other stuff and you're mixing LSD and... God knows what else. Yeah, it's a
God only knows what else.
Yeah, it's a rough combination. Uh-huh. Nice, I like what you did there. But I mean, they claim that like his like musical compositions and stuff are some of the most complex ever written. I mean, they put him on par with like Beethoven type stuff. I mean, he truly was a musical genius. He just was tortured.
And finally, Jace.
And
he
California
said,
Girls came out of an LSD trip. I know that.
Well, a lot of it sounds like it did.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
He said he should have spent the early 2000s in a mentalist institution under heavy sedation due to the stresses of his conditions. However, things started to get a little easier for him, but he's not always in a positive, happy place.
Yeah.
In 2002, he lamented that his successful treatment had inhibited his creativity and songwriting.
When you hear that from a lot of people, like a lot of musicians are like that. That say that without it, they can't write. And a lot of them like end up dying because of it. Who is the, like, I remember the lead singer of Sublime. He said he quit heroin and he couldn't write another tune and sat there. And so he went back on heroin because he's like, well, I can't write without it.
James Taylor went the other way. Yeah. He said the album that he's most proud of in his life is the first one he wrote when he was clean. He said when he used to be on heroin, it felt like the notes and lyrics fell from the sky, hit him on the head, and landed on the page, and he just lost it.
Hey, how was the James Taylor show?
Wonderful.
Yeah?
It was really nice. I'd never been out to that venue before. It was also great. It was
Where
a perfect
did he
night.
Play?
It was out in Ridgefield at Cascades Amphitheater.
Oh, you'd never been out there? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a nice little venue.
Yeah, good little venue.
Played all the hits.
Yeah. Well, I would assume so.
You know what you're getting.
I don't think
James Taylor shows up and is like, hey, guys, no Fire and Rain tonight. Sorry.
Here's one
I don't know if he did do Fire and Rain. No, he did do Fire and Rain.
He did.
Of course he did.
Come on.
Here's one by Motley Crue. You may know this as Girls, Girls, Girls.
Yeah.
The really cool thing is one of his twin sons now is touring with him. Looks a ton like him, this tall, lanky frame, and he obviously, because of the genetics, has the same vocal register. And so in the... encore, he and his dad just did a duet. His kid's 22.
That's
really
cool.
It was really cool.
Can I offer a criticism of the Ridgefield Amphitheater?
Feel free.
Sure.
Is this safe?
No
idea. Is
this
a safe space?
Couldn't tell you. Blame, I don't know. If Dusty comes in here, it's all you.
You're right. I'll have to wear this.
But feel free. The parking?
No, everybody complains about the parking.
Yeah, the parking's a little rough.
Yeah, getting out of there is hard. Yeah. Depends on where you park.
Sure.
But, no, the drinks at that place.
What about them?
They're horrible.
Oh, like the,
and they need
the cocktails? Or?
They need to step it up.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I can tell you, like, whenever I go to a concert, I'm a beer guy, so.
Yeah.
We got mason jar cocktails, which were ridiculously expensive.
Yes.
But they were actually pretty good.
Were they good?
Yeah. We had a vodka strawberry lemonade. It was kind of a warm night.
We got that, too, and I thought that was absolute garbage.
It was, I thought it was solid, and so was their margarita.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but when I go to like music venues, I don't trust. You got 15,000 people there. I'm not trusting that you're doing a great job of mixing a cocktail.
Yeah, this was coming out of a tap. Like this was like already pre-mixed one big thing.
Now there's really only one bar in there. I think there's a bar in the middle on the outside.
There is,
but you can't.
It's the only place you can go, so it's kind of busy.
And you can't take drinks out of there.
Mm.
But they also have basically just volunteers pouring.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so it's not I don't know. I don't know why you can't have a better drink experience at a nice show.
You should be able to. You know? I don't know what kind of like hoops they have to jump through, but we figured out pretty quickly the best way to go was just the still volunteers pouring, but like the wine bar.
Yeah, if you ever
wine exactly.
If you end up like in a club level or little like kind of. I don't know, sometimes your credit card will get you into a little VIP area. Sometimes you can find like decent bars, but if you're at a mass show like that, I think you got to stick to the basics.
Yeah. If I ever go back there, I'm just having a beer.
There you go. You got to stick to some Silver Bullets or, you know, whatever you got, you know.
Or my flask.
Yeah, just bring some hard grain alcohol in. Just, you know, sneak that into the binoculars and call it good.
All right. There's your opening segment. Rest in peace, Brian Wilson.
Yes.
True greatness. True American greatness. 82 years old.
And he's at peace now.
Headlines coming up next. Will Kevin Durant be traded soon? And who's fired up about the Blazers' new assistant coaches?
Right.
On the Fan. Well, I hope we get all Beach Boys today.
Already in the stack.
This is
that a baby.
This is off Pet Sounds again, which is one of the best albums of all time.
They are so good.
But God Only Knows and right here, Sloop John B. You throw that with some California Girls, Good Vibrations, and you've got the quintessential Beach Boys.
I just don't know how
you got both eras.
When that song, or any of their songs, most of their songs come on, I don't know how you don't start singing at the top of your lungs.
Yeah,
I really don't.
And there's some really good covers out there too. In fact, the Sloop John B. I was listening to the little Spotify mix the other day, and someone did like a. I don't know, kind of like a bluegrass version of it. It was really good. This was like a week ago, and I was taking a walk, and I saved it on there. And by the way, our drug bros are in. They're saying that dose he took was like taking 12 hits of acid.
Seems like a lot.
Oh, my God.
At one time?
Yeah.
Is that true? That can't be true.
On the whole, you said 125 micrograms, and then we couldn't math because we can never math. And someone said it's 12.5% of a gram, and that would be about 12 hits of acid.
So, look, first off, if you have schizophrenia, don't do acid. And if you are going to do acid, my God, 12 hits?
Yeah, if you have schizophrenia, you're kind of already on acid.
Right? That's already, you got some, you know, you got some issues going on there. If you've never done it before, how about you start with half a tab and then kind of...
I don't think that's what the 60s were like, dude.
I don't think so.
Especially when you're a rock star.
I think their drug experience and my drug experience might be slightly different.
Can I just say this about Brian Wilson?
Yes, you
can. They, you know, rock star, quintessent, like American treasure, that guy.
Yeah.
But as he got older, I mean, he's just a dad-looking guy.
Yeah.
You know, and he would wear like golf shirts and like, you know, cargo shorts and stuff.
Yeah.
And so some of the pictures.
Yeah, it's not.
You know, and then they'd be like, rock star Brian Wilson. I'm like, I mean.
How about music visionary?
Yeah, he had his time.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I saw a great little spot that SNL did where Dan Aykroyd and Belushi come and arrest Brian Wilson for not surfing enough. They go and it's like, you know, the whole everybody's surfing now. And they bust him and they make him go out and surf. It was a fun little bit.
Isn't Mike Love still out there playing Beach Boy stuff?
It wouldn't surprise me.
I think he's still out there.
I do think that they probably have a reincarnated, you know. Those bands never stop touring. Look at the Four Seasons, for God's sakes. They're still rolling What's-His-Nuts out there, even though he...
Frankie Valli.
So, look, someone's willing to pay to go see the Beach Boys, and you're going to go see the Beach Boys.
All right, it's time for headlines. We finally get Game 3 of the NBA Finals to nizzle.
Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you what. I need something to spark my interest in this. Because it's...
That's all of us.
There was the big, long layoff, and then we had Game 1. It was like, yeah. And
not really.
It was the lowest Game 1 since they started tracking it.
Lowest rated.
Yeah. Right? And then Game 2 happened, and Game 2 was an absolute snooze fest. You see less than 9 million people tuned into that thing?
Well, it was a blowout. I mean, the 7 of the 8 quarters have really sucked.
Yes.
Only a half of one quarter has been any good.
So this, and really wasn't half a quarter. It was more like
5 minutes.
5 minutes. So they need an Indiana win or at least some sort of nice finish here. If this is Oklahoma City, as you mentioned, for 97% of this series, Oklahoma City's been up by 10 points or more. If this is kind of a comfortable 10-point cruise, welcome to Snooze Fest and the lowest rated finals of all time.
I think you're right.
They need something tonight. They need like, they need someone to like bite an ear off. And I guess, I guess the Halibon's dealing with like Achilles tendonitis. So he's going to be limited. They need something. They need Fan Man that like descends from above and like crash lands. Something's got to happen because no one right now is paying attention. And by the way, the long layoffs are not helping. They're not. In fact, I woke up yesterday and I was, you know, again, I've been sick, so I was in this haze. I thought that it was tomorrow, or I guess it would have been yesterday. I thought the game was on. And then about like 3:30 or 4, I was like, oh, it's not even on today. And then today I woke up and it's like, I didn't care. It's just, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind, and it's not that interesting. I mean, I'll watch, but it's got to do something in the first half to grab me.
So the lowest rated NBA Finals series so far is this one.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's got time to catch up. But previously it was the 2020 Lakers Heat in the bubble.
Mm.
That was the lowest rated.
Was it really?
Yeah. Which is kind of weird.
Because, I mean, those are...
Because we were all captive.
We were all captive, although it was weird and there was no, you know, no fans and... You know,
no, they had the fans on the screen. Remember?
Yeah,
they did the... Number two, or actually three now, would be the 2007 Spurs-Cavs. That would have been...
And the Spurs, I think, swept them.
Was that young LeBron?
That was young LeBron.
Yeah.
And the Spurs just...
Killed them.
Alley-whipped them. I believe it was a sweep.
Ooh, I remember this one, and it was bad. 2003 Spurs-Nets. Dude, that's Jason Kidd's finals with the Nets.
Yeah.
2021 Bucks Suns. Those are your bottom five.
It's not good.
Lowest rated.
All I know
NBA
is the All Star, the Four Nations hockey game, the final of that did a better number than Game Two of the NBA Finals, and that ain't good.
Wow.
You don't. You know, hockey is a distant fourth.
A hockey exhibition, mind you. Even though people were juiced about it.
That's an exhibition game from a league that is clearly the fourth of the Big Four. And this is what I said going into this. We can all say that we're not hypocrites and that we hate super teams and we don't tire of people talking about New York and LA and Boston. And we want teams that are built the right way. And we're glad that the CBA eliminates super teams now. And we want, you know, that like organic talent and do it the right way in team ball. This is it. These are two teams that were built, quote, the right way and play nice team ball. And it's fast paced. And, you know, there's a lot to like about this and no one cares.
Well, yeah, it's a basketball purist's dream, but turnovers are not that fun to watch. And that's all Oklahoma City does is turn you over.
Yeah.
And there's no star power and there's no big brands.
No.
So, and there's small markets. I mean, come on, you couldn't, like the NBA has to have, when they saw this matchup, you know, they were like, oh no,
yeah,
we're in trouble here. Yeah. So we needed the games to bail them out.
And game one was, but isn't that disappointing?
Sorta.
That game one was.
But it wasn't that great.
No,
I mean,
but
when Oklahoma City is up by 10 to 15, which they have been pretty much the whole series, you really don't ever think they're going to blow it. It's very boring. It's easily turn offable because they're so good.
Yeah.
Well, game one, they blew it. Yeah. Okay. And Indiana did what Indiana does, and that kind of got everybody's attention. Well, game two, it was the exact same game, except that Oklahoma City didn't even come close to blowing it.
Yeah.
And so now we're all back to thinking, well, okay, Oklahoma City's, that was a one-off.
Kind of feels that way.
So you need, the game has to be, I mean, it just has to grab us tonight.
Yep.
Or that the NBA is in trouble for
and
that one.
And again, I go, if someone else, it's just the layoffs are insane. Lost all interest after game one, even after it grabbed me with that ending.
Yeah,
just
I mean,
wild.
They can't just play, like, I get they travel, but.
It's insane.
They travel during the regular season.
The layoffs.
Lace them up.
I just think the lace them up, you little bitch.
Let's go.
I really do think
lace
the layoffs
them up,
are
you little
hurting.
Bitch. Let's go.
I just think it kills the momentum, an already somewhat of a bland series, and it is such a good point you made. Like in my mind, game one was such a great one, but I almost turned it off. Like
not a lot of people did.
I know people who did. They couldn't believe when they saw like the social media notifications pop up.
We left the way our works for most of these games, we get home right at either the start of the fourth quarter or our like the start of the third period in hockey. And I was watching or I was listening to it on the radio when I was driving home, and it was they had got it to 9, and then they hit a 3 to cut it to 6. Oklahoma City hit a 3 to push it back to 9 right as the quarter ended. And I was like, all right, well, it's something. So I got in the house, right? Put the keys down, saw the dog, all that, and grabbed some food real quick. And I said, hey, let's watch it out in the living room so I can watch the game. And I turned it on and it was back up to like 15. And I was like, oh my God. And had I not been sitting down with food, I think that probably would have been the end of it. And I didn't pay any attention. I was just kind of sitting there eating my food, like kind of scrolling and talking to the fam. And that's kind of the only reason it was just on in the background. And then it was like, oh my God, this thing's getting close. And you do wonder how many people were like me at that point. We're like, God, I don't need to watch this crap. Because you're like, yeah, it's a dud.
The YouTube chat tells us there have only been 6 lead changes in both games combined.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
You know the last time Indiana lost back-to-back games? Would you like to take a guess at that?
Well, they have been the second best team since the start of the year. So okay, I'm guessing it's before the new year.
No, it was March 8th and 10th.
Okay.
But that is a month earlier than Oklahoma City. Because Oklahoma City lost back-to-back games in April.
Yeah.
So Pacers, you know, I mean, it'd be on brand for them to win this one and get us interested again.
Well, the NBA needs it. So
what?
Scott Foster, the NBA needs to rig this one.
Scotty F out there tonight?
I don't know. If they can just bring someone in, bring in the extender, because we need SGA in foul trouble early. And I guess Oklahoma City just has a deep bench anyways, but we need some favorable Indiana calls.
No, we do not get any Scott Foster. We get crew chief James Capers, we get Tony Brothers, and we get Tyler Ford.
Yeah, none of that means anything to me.
Well,
no, but I bet we'll recognize
not
him when
Scott
we see
Foster.
Him.
You'll know Tony Brothers. You know Tony Brothers.
All right, Suns and Durant getting close to a trade. That's next. Here's Buck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Hell yeah. I get around. Do you get around?
Not really.
The bad guys know it.
They leave it alone.
What a jam. Get another jam.
Whenever I hear this, I think of Look Who's Talking. I mean, it's probably been in a million movies, but I don't know why I just... It's a great montage song.
You think of what?
It is.
The Look Who's Talking. It's a, you know, John Travolta, Bruce Willis, Christy Alley. Yeah. I don't know why. It's just, yeah, sometimes music just, like, it makes me think of something specific, and I don't know why, but that's where I go. But I'm sure this has been in a million movies.
Didn't they do one of the
catalog for like $70 million?
Didn't they do one of the great Halloween songs? Didn't they do Monster Mash? Was that them?
No, they didn't do Monster Mash.
They didn't. Who did Monster Mash?
I think it's just a one-off sort of dude.
It kind of sounded Beach Boys-y.
Yeah, the
it's the Monster Mash.
Someone is now. Is it Monster Mash by the Beach Boys?
I'm seeing by Boris Pickett, so maybe they covered it.
Oh. No,
did they write it and
Beach Boys Monster Mash 1964.
So he covered it?
No,
I don't know who Boris Pickett is, but I look up Monster Mash in the system. It says it's not by the Beach Boys. It says
no,
Boris
it's Pickett. I know it's that guy. Like I said, it's a one off and he's got that very distinct voice, but that doesn't mean that he didn't.
He was before them.
Okay.
So 1962 he wrote that and released it. They played it, I guess. I don't know. There's a video of them playing it.
He's the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
Boy, if Brian Wilson had written the Monster Mash, you were about to blow my damn mind. It's like, oh my God.
You remember those striped shirts they used to wear?
Yes. Yeah, Bobby Pickett was the one that actually wrote.
Yeah, that's what he just said.
Oh, I thought you
said
it was
for paying attention.
Not even listening.
I thought you said it was the Boris.
Boris Bobby Pickett, or Bobby Boris Pickett.
So Bobby Pickett is the Boris guy.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
All right, now that we covered that.
We've learned a lot today. We've gone on an emotional journey.
Let's break, because I can't wait to come back from the next break to hear the next Beach Boys song. That's how excited I am about Brian Wilson dying.
Boy, that's rough.
Look, like you said, he's in a better place.
I understand, but that you should not be excited about
Framing
Brian.
Was interesting there.
Yeah, it wasn't my best. No. But, you know, listen, I just want to hear more Beach Boys. I think we should just stop the show and play Beach Boys.
Should we take like an hour break and do a bunch from their catalog and then
would
come
that
back?
Get better ratings than us? I'm guessing it would.
Get better ratings than Game 3 of the NBA Finals.
What if we kind of flipped it and we just turned you guys into like radio DJs and you just introduced the songs, talked a little bit about them, reacted a little bit on the back end, and we just kind of kept going?
Not a bad idea.
No.
Seeing as how we're on AM.
I know this is...
I don't know if we're actually allowed to do that.
This is a bit controversial, but I kind of want to hear the Monster Mash now. I mean...
Wait, the... Okay. I mean, I can play it.
I mean, we can find the Beach Boys singing Monster Mash. I don't like that the Monster Mash is shoehorned into just Halloween. I think it's a great song regardless of season.
It's a jam for sure.
Right?
I was looking in the lab late one night.
Why does this have to just be Halloween?
Doesn't this sound Beach Boys-y?
Yeah, there's a little swing to it.
And you hear how it would to my resemble their kind of
he did the mash.
He did the well, the Beach Boys are all about harmonies. We got this. It was a graveyard the Crypt Kicker 5. It caught
on in a flash. I love how he sings the, you know, like
from my love he's singing like Dracula.
And I love a good wahoo. Wahoo.
I bet there's a bunch of hots in the background.
Swaying.
Yeah, 60 hots.
The Monster Man. You're right. This is an absolute slapper.
Yes, regardless of season. Should be spread out more.
Do you think he played it at his shows?
I think maybe only around Halloween.
Well, what else did he do? That was his most popular song.
Maybe when he was on acid.
And how much, what do you think he feels, I mean, he's probably dead, but what do you think he felt about Monster Mash being so popular later in his life?
Yeah, I wonder if that's, I hope he embraced it, because, yeah, he died in 2007, so he's super dead.
But
I hope he embraced it, because there's nothing worse than the guy that's, like, famous for one thing, mainly, and then he's all pissy about it, like Biff from Back to the Future, or Carlton, you know, the Alfonso Rivera, like, that always rubs me the wrong way. Dude, that's the only reason anyone gives two S's. So just, I understand it's probably a bit annoying, but lean into it and give the people the Monster Mash.
He co-wrote that with Leonard Capizzi in 1962. The song is a spoof on the dance crazes popular at the time, including the twist and the mashed potato, which inspired the title. The song features Pickett's impersonations of veteran horror stars Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi. Every major record label declined the song, but after hearing it, Gary Paxson agreed to produce and engineer it. Among the musicians who contributed to the song are pianist Leon Russell. Did you know that?
I did not.
And The Ventures drummer Mel Taylor. Yeah.
I do know that probably in a very sad...
it hit number one on Billboard Hot 100. Did you know that?
He later did a song, and I'm guessing this was, oh my God, I don't have anything else to do. He did a song called The Werewolf Watusi. And I've never heard The Werewolf Watusi, but this may be, hey guys, we got one thing to do.
I guess I'll have to find it.
Yeah. Can we look up, because I'm just guessing that The Werewolf Watusi is a very, very sad attempt to recreate the magic.
Well, I guess he did a lot of parodies.
Okay.
So he did, because, you know, I mean, that went to number one.
Yes.
So he's probably like, oh my God, I got to make more of these.
Well, I'm guessing, I'm guessing The Werewolf Watusi did not go to number one.
He did a Christmas-themed follow-up called Monsters Holiday, and it reached number 30 in December of that same year.
Right.
Blood Bank Blues did not hit the charts.
I like that I'm going to lean into this.
Werewolf Watusi, as you said, and The Monster Swim, the latter of which made it to number 135 on the Bubbling Under chart, was credited Bobby Pickett and the Rolling Bones.
Well,
he was like Weird Al.
He was like Weird Al.
So this is going to take a couple more minutes, but I can now tell you we're not going to get anything done the rest of this hour because I have The Werewolf Watusi coming up. We'll have it on the other side of the break, and it kind of slaps too.
But please don't. Please. Let's bounce back with some Beach Boys, okay?
Let's focus on Brian Wilson.
We wouldn't deviate from that plan.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Brian Wilson. Yeah. Okay. All right. And there's apparently maybe a Kevin Durant trade on the horizon.
Yeah.
We'll get to that as well on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com. Take a chance of power,
another jam. We are...
They just don't.
What?
They don't.
No, they really don't.
It's an endless supply.
It is a catalog that slaps,
yes,
according to Ryan Buckley. Those were his words. And I tend to agree.
That's
now,
right.
We have suddenly stumbled upon the Monster Mash song.
Yes.
From the
and
60s.
Now the derivative.
Yeah, well, the guy that did, I thought it was Brian Wilson. But
no.
It's just that good.
Yeah.
No, it was some guy named, what'd you call him, Bobby Pickett?
Bobby Pickett, a.k.a. Boris Pickett.
Yeah, and he did, apparently he was like the Weird Al of the 60s. He did a bunch of parodies.
Yeah.
And we have another. This is called, is this the...
This is the Werewolf
Watusi.
Now gather round, kiddies. I'll tell you something juicy about this dance you call the Watusi. You think it's something new? Well, that's not so. It all really started 400 years ago at the graduation party for Transylvania High. Back in 1565, we were swaying to the music of Lawrence Wolfe and his bubbly bloodthirsty jive.
Wow.
23 skidoo.
Another Wahoo, yeah. Hey, he knows what works.
A she-wolf named Rhonda tooled in on her Honda.
What
a quite
the
unexpected
hell?
Call.
Well, again, I told you this is going to be a sad attempt at a follow-up.
She said you bats on.
Wait, one more time.
This is better than Lawrence Wolf.
There are people screaming at their radios.
I don't know why.
We should probably move off of this and never play the Werewolf Watusi again.
It's not.
No.
It's not the Monster Mash.
No, it is not.
It's not great, but Buck's right. It starts out kind of promising.
Again, we all know why. We all know why the Werewolf Watusi was made. had a hit with that Monster Mash. Oh.
Damn. He did a spoof.
Do something with werewolves.
1975, he did a spoof on Star Trek called Star Drek.
He was the Weird Al of his time.
Yeah.
Well.
Do you think Weird Al gives this dude credit for his success?
I don't think so. I think Weird Al, he does the Dr. Demento. I think that's the inspiration behind the great Weird Al Yankovic. Who I think is coming here, by the way. I think Weird Al's coming on tour here. Thought I saw that the other day.
What does he draw? Does he have a following?
I think he plays, I'll bet you he gets a couple grand. You know, he plays, he's on the county fair circuit thing, whatever. I bet you Weird Al does better than you think.
When it's the fair circuit, you get a lot of people just because they're at the fair. I didn't know if he was like doing like a tour that was, I guess, non-fair dependent.
I think he does. He's playing at McMenamin's Edgefield.
Look at that.
August 13th.
Go have a burger and some parody music.
I'll bet you, I don't know if that's going to be packed, but, I bet you Weird Al does fine.
That'd be a fun show.
Yeah.
He's would fun.
It? Maybe.
Yeah, he's fun. Of course it would be.
Weird Al's going to have enough hits that when you're there.
He'll do some new stuff that's funny, too.
Yeah, dude. You'll get a couple drinks in you. You know, maybe you roll one from the green vine. You're going to be sitting there on a nice summer day. I'll bet you that's a better time than you think.
I can buy it.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not going to say that I'm going to like run right out to see Weird Al, but
I think I'd have to get free tickets.
Yeah.
I'm not. Yeah. I don't know that I'm going to pay for those, but
$76.50?
No.
Well, that's what?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm out. Sorry. Sorry, Al.
You're looking for more of a free 99 situation?
I am, yes.
I'll bet you Al gets 2,500 people at least.
Well, what is that? You can't get that many out there, can
Someone
you?
Says he sold out Edgefield last time he was here.
Well, what is a sellout at Edgefield?
I don't know.
$3,000? I don't know.
Look at that.
Yeah, you take a look at that, you son. coming up next.
Dude. So it's 7,000.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Capacity of 7,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's way bigger than
So they're saying Al sold out Edgefield?
That's what the text line says.
Hell
but
yeah.
We could obviously take
I'll
that
tell
as
you
fact.
What. I got to tell you, Edgefield is a great spot for him.
Yes.
That's perfect.
Yeah. I definitely think Weird Al needs to be outside. And it's a summer. I'm not going to see Weird Al in the middle of winter. That's not happening. Al is an August, not a December sort of thing. And I believe Weird Al, Bigger and Weirder is the 2025 tour.
How original.
Yeah. And I think he might be playing two nights there.
Wow.
High demand, that Weird Al.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Is Weird Al that popular? Al needs two nights?
It's pretty clear he's far more popular than you think he is.
Well, I'll tell you right now, boys. Thursday, August 14th, guess what?
Are you heading out there?
No, I'm not. You know why? Sold out.
Wow.
Okay. Al sold out.
He's the man.
Look, I think we owe.
You owe.
We.
I wasn't trashing Al.
I was saying Al's that he. Great. I was saying he, I was Buck.
I think I was questioning. I don't think I was trashing.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's, we need to give Al his flowers. Sold out Edgefield. Special guest, Puddle's Pity Party.
No way. Okay, coming up next, we get back on track, maybe.
Do we?
Kevin Durant trade on the horizon. Blazers have new assistants and some football, cool football stuff. On the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.